Romans 4, you got it? This is very basic. Romans chapter 4, in fact, it's one of those things you say, well, do I really need to teach this? But what if we don't? What if we don't teach it and it becomes one of those lost doctrines of the Word of God? There are people out there who do not understand what it takes to get saved. And I've even had people, members of the church, to question the validity of the salvation that we preach because it's biblical. Because in our minds, it's hard for us to qualify or to justify that God's grace could be so sufficient. Aren't you glad it is, though? It's so sufficient. And Romans chapter 4 gives us the simplicity of the fundamentals, the foundation of faith. Look at what he says. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Now this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When he put his faith in God, it goes back. I have a friend, he was a deacon in the first church I pastored, and he used to always say, was Zacchaeus saved when he was in the tree or when he climbed down from the tree or before he got in the tree? You know, it's just one of those silly things that people can discuss. But the truth is, when Zacchaeus put his faith in Jesus, he was saved. The same way that we are saved, the same way that anyone has been saved, is to trust God with our soul, with our eternity, to put our faith in him. Abraham believed. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So here's what he's saying. If salvation came by works, then that would mean God owed us salvation. That's not God's way of working. Because God is God. He doesn't owe us anything. And I hear preachers sometimes say, God is, he owes us that. God is God. Let's be careful how we talk about the Almighty. Be careful of the terms we use when we're considering him, even in his speech, even in his words. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, okay, so hadn't done anything, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, I don't put any words in there, take any words out of there. That's what the Bible says. How must we be born again? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that what? Whosoever believeth. You see, that's what it takes. And so when we trust God, when we believe God, when we accept his record, I don't mean the whole record. When I got saved, I didn't know everything the Bible had to say. And by the way, now I still don't know everything the Bible has to say. But what I do know are plain statements like this that say you cannot earn your salvation. That says you can't work for it. You don't have to work for it. You work as hard as you want, it won't get you to heaven. Only one way to heaven, right? And that's Jesus. Some of you missed that from Wednesday night. One way to heaven. Verse 6, even as David also describes the blessedness of man, of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, I love God. I want to live for God. I want to do whatever God shows me to do, leads me to do, guides me to. I want to do God's work. But that's not going to save me anymore. And if you don't do it, it's not going to save you any less. And if I don't do it, I'm not going to be any less saved. And if you do more, you're not going to be any more saved. We're all, as believers, we're all getting in. Amen. Amen. Saying, blessed are they, verse 7, whose iniquities are forgiven. I'm glad my iniquities are forgiven. Iniquity means I fell short. It means there's an inequity. It means I didn't. Remember, we talked about this morning, Belshazzar, and it's, and God says he has finished his accounting of the kingdom, and you have been placed on the scales and what? Found wanting. Found wanting. You're short. Any of you ever get to the checkout line? You have to raise your hand. But you ever get to the checkout line and find out you're short? I remember one time I was about 10 years old. I went to the store and I gave him a $10 bill. Boy, I thought I was so big. And I said, keep the change. He said, you owe me five more dollars. No, I was short. But I'm glad that when I fall short, my sins are forgiven. My iniquities are forgiven. My sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm glad that one day when I stand before God and all my accusers are lined up, just, boy, they're just so happy, can't wait. Oh, they know something about Derek, they're going to share. And God pulls out the record and holds it up, and it's as empty as that paper the lady held up the other day. Nothing on it. Blank paper. They're going to say, what do you mean? He says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth no sin. That's blessed. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know me. You know, when Jesus talked about sin, he talked about the sins that we commit, but he also talked about the sins that we wanted to commit, even if we didn't. Y'all ever had any of those? And you wanted to get even, or you wanted to get back, and just because we thought about it, you know, that means that's sin. But God forgives us. He washes it away. It's gone. When he holds the record up, it's clean. Because the Lord does not impute sin to us. Why? Because we did what? Because we worked hard, joined the church, got baptized, gave enough. No, none of that. Because we believed. Well, that's reassuring, isn't it? But you know, there's a whole world out there that doesn't understand how easy it is to be saved. It's easy for us. It was hard for Jesus. He went in the garden. He said, Father, if it may be, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He would not have gone and prayed those prayers three times with sweating like drops of blood if it wasn't hard. He was sorrowful, the Bible says, unto death. He just could have died. He didn't want to go. Why? He knew the church would see him up there hanging on that cross, naked and beaten and bloody. He knew his mama would be there looking at him on that cross. He didn't want to go. Why did he do it? For us. He did the hard part. We believe, when we trust, we accept Jesus as our Savior. Our sins are washed away. The Lord imputes no sin to us because of our faith. Verse 13. The promise that he should be the heir of the world, and this is speaking of Abraham, we skipped a few verses there, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And now we understand with Abraham, there was a token. What was that token? It was circumcision. With us today, what is that token? That token is baptism. Now, when we get baptized, we're not any more saved because we got baptized. We're saved already before we get baptized. And so it doesn't, and I have people that will call me and they counsel with me. They say, I want to get baptized because I want to go to heaven. Well, I'm glad you want to go to heaven, but baptism is not the way. It's not the way. And so it's our faith, not our works, not any works, our faith. And so he says, verse 14, if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. If you have to be Jewish to go to heaven, what's the point? You know what that means? That means that we'd go get our DNA test to find out there's no Jewish blood in our DNA, and we'd say, well, there's no point trying. But aren't you glad that's not been the case? By the way, it was never the case. God chose Abraham, called Abraham out, and that was one of the unique things I didn't bring out this morning. But remember, Daniel went back to the land Abraham had come out of. And all that happened back where Abraham... Look, people there had faith. That's where Abraham started with his faith, was in Ur. He didn't get faith when he got to Egypt or get faith when he got to Canaan. He had faith in Ur. That's where it originated with Abraham. And then Daniel went back there. But that faith was already there. How loose was the faith? How strong was the faith? Don't know. But I know this. I know that that faith didn't come by law. Law was established to reveal our iniquity. Law was established to reveal our sin, to set a standard so we would see how we don't measure up. Remember that young man came to Jesus, a lawyer, I believe, and he said, I've kept all the commandments from my youth. Jesus said, well, sell everything you got and give it to the poor. He said, oh, there got to be another way. What did he have? He had covetous. He had greed. He had other gods. Whatever you want to say, he wasn't willing to give it up for God. Keeping the commandments doesn't get you saved. But the commandments and the breaking of the commandments and the realization, look, it's not about me telling you you broke a commandment. It's about you knowing in your heart that you fell short. And people say, well, I never killed anybody. Well, good. Most people don't. But if you can go back through your whole history and never find a time that you stole anything or coveted anything or dishonored your parents in anything or dishonored the Sabbath in anything, then I'd like to shake your hand. The truth is we all fall short, and usually not just one commandment, usually multiple commandments. Moses is the only one I know that broke them all at one time. You'll get it later. They're good jokes. Y'all just don't appreciate them. The law, look at what it says in verse 15. You can use that joke next week, Bobby. Verse 15. The law worketh wrath. The boys were asking me on the way to church this morning, Dad, where is there any road you can get on and drive where there's no speed limit? I don't know why they ask such questions. I said, the only one I know of is Autobahn in Germany. They said, let's go. They want to be somewhere where there's no law. Just do whatever you want. You want to know why there are laws? It's to protect us from ourselves and protect others from us and us from others. And you look at the Ten Commandments and any law in the Bible, and what you're going to find is that every one of those laws is meant to protect us and to protect others from us. You see, that's the reality. Law reveals our sin. Law reveals our shortcoming. Law reveals our transgression. You say, well, there's too many laws. Adam and Eve only had one. Only one. And broke it. Of all the choices they had, they broke it. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith. Please understand in your Bible, please understand when you're talking to somebody about how to be saved, it is of faith. That it might be by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest what? Lest we could boast. Lest Abraham. Look what he said here. He said, or Abraham might have a reason to boast. But see, he didn't. And I don't. And you don't. Nobody does. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his grace, his mercy, he has saved us. Not by works. He says, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not, as though they were. What does that mean? It means that God's word is final. It means, and look at this next verse first. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken by God, so shall thy seed be. Because he called those things that be not as though they were. In other words, God's already said it's going to happen. We can trust God. So we talked about the miracle and miracle workers this morning and said, any miracle that Abraham did, and say, well, he had a child when he was 100 years old. Okay, you got me. Huh? And that's something, isn't it? Why did he do that? God said, it'll happen. Remember when Jesus was telling Abraham about that, Sarah laughed. Remember that? She said, ain't no way. But God calls those things that be not as though they were. And as though they what? Were. Not are. Not will be. Were. In other words, it's a done deal. When God says it, it's a done deal. As though they were. So when God said to Abraham, you're going to have a child, when he said that in Sarah's presence, she may not have accepted it or believed it, but it was a done deal. God's word is final. Faith. Abraham hoped against hope, the Bible says. It wasn't in his favor. The odds were not in his favor. The news was not in his favor. The chances just weren't there. It wasn't realistic. I'm so glad that God could save me when it wasn't realistic. That God could save you when it wasn't realistic. That God can still save people. And we say, oh, he'll never get saved. But God can. God can. Don't ever give up on somebody while they're breathing. Because they can have faith. They can have faith. Now, we need to believe and we need to pray and we need to help them find the way. Show them the way. Be the way. And don't give up. Because God says, those things that be not as though they were. God sees what we can't. I'm glad he can. I look back on my life. You ever look back and just find the little pivot points where God just took over? Changed everything. Because he's in control. And Abraham believed against hope, according to that which was spoken. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't hesitate. He didn't resist. He believed. He didn't stagger. He didn't drag himself to it. With energy, with hope, with enthusiasm, he pursued. Amen. Good example that Paul gives us there. He pursued God's promise. And he realized it. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded, are you fully persuaded? Are you having trouble with it? I know there are people and even in our number, even among us, maybe not tonight, but people that I've ministered to along the way who say, I just have trouble believing that part. I remember having lunch, sitting down at the restaurant with a brother in the church, and he said, I just have trouble with that part. And I said, that's okay. Want you to know it's okay for you to have trouble understanding it because you don't have to understand it, God does. You didn't have to do it and you don't have to explain it. God already did. And so if you struggle with some of the truths of the Bible, look, I don't struggle with this part. It's all true. Don't struggle with that part. But when you come across a verse or, in fact, somebody loaned me a book this week and they said, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it says, but it had a title and it was something about God and maybe you want to read it. So I did, about 3 pages. If it wasn't somebody else's book, I'd have burned it. Yeah, I said that out loud. Why? Because it's trash. It's trash. And it trashes God, and it trashes the Bible, and it trashes the truth of the Bible. And it's a cynic. You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't say you'd burn books. It's trash. I don't say I'm burning every one of them, but that was in my possession. Nobody should read that. I know I'm not the arbiter. I know it's not my decision. But I'm telling you that it's an opinion of a writer that doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't believe the Bible, so he doesn't think anybody should believe the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. God calls those things that are not as though they were. God's already finished it out. He's already put the end at the end. Being fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I'm glad. I don't wonder about heaven. I know about heaven. Never been there. The descriptions that we have in the Bible are not sufficient. The imagination that I have are not sufficient. I don't know what heaven's going to look like. But I know I'm going. I don't understand. I can't. You can't. I can't comprehend eternity, eternal life. Hard for me to comprehend. But I don't have to. He's got this. Finally, verse 22 says, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, because he believed, he was fully persuaded. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. We don't earn salvation. We don't work for salvation. We are saved when we believe. I'm glad that Jesus gave us the understanding. He said plainly, if you don't come to me with the faith of a little child, you won't come. In other words, at some point, you're just going to have to trust me. You're not going to understand it all. You're not going to have all the answers. You're just going to have to trust God. And when you do that, you'll be born again when we believe. Let's stand. Father, we do love you so much, and we're so thankful. Your grace to us is undeserved. It's unmerited, but that is grace. It is not a reward. It is grace. It is mercy. It doesn't mean we should take it for granted and live in rebellion against you, but that we should live in thanksgiving, understanding that our security of heaven is already complete, but that we should be grateful and live out our days here, worshiping you and glorifying you and point others to you, that they also may have eternal life by believing on your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Dismissed.